Simico.
Gabby Kingley.
Take it easy, take it easy. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. I'm here with Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and Margaret Gray. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Phil.
Yep, going to talk about that.
I am going to talk about the article, Take It Easy Now, okay? You know, Bud, I got to tell you, just because it says something in a newspaper or in a news article doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to happen.
No, it is kind of scary.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Would you let him get into the show? I'm sorry, Phil, let him get into the show. Sit down, Bud. Why is the fly open?
I came back from the bathroom and I forgot all about it.
Is that right? Remember to do your fly up. Anyway, welcome to our program. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're here at the El Pacifico, where the weather today was. We've got the June gloom down here in Southern California. I refuse, by the way, to call it Cali. I'm sorry, but it's never going to happen. I don't call it SoCal, and that may be an arrogant move on my part. Maybe I'm making myself maybe I'm being curmudgeonly. Maybe I'm distancing myself from the mass of people. But the word Cali just sounds real jive, you know.
You think it sounds gay. Why don't you say it?
No, I never use the word gay.
Well, then why did you do the thing with your hand?
You go like, oh, gay. Yeah, you do. It's almost like you're with a you're dunking a scented kerchief.
Dunking a scented kerchief?
Yes, in perfume.
So in other words, I'm an 18th century dandy.
In many ways, yes. Because, Phil, Cali is the way, you know.
That they're saying it now.
Yes.
Well, some of the youth culture calls it Cali. I just don't dig it. I think I'm not going to do it. You know, and I said to somebody, I go, I think people from out of state, it's kind of like San Francisco. You don't call it, if you grow up in California, you know the last thing you do is call it Frisco. If you call it Frisco, you could get beat up. You know, it used to be, if you went to San Francisco and go, ah, hey, this is great to be in Frisco. Well, you lousy, boom, you know. I mean, they immediately mark you as an out of, generally they figure you're a guy from L.A., which is not good. But that ain't near as bad probably as being from back east. But nonetheless, you come to learn that San Francisco is always referred to as the city by the natives. And that's what you came to call it. Or you came to call it San Francisco, you know. There's only one group of guys that very comfortably called it Frisco, and nobody was going to argue with them, and that was the Hell's Angels.
Hey.
Thank you.
But I call the chapters Frisco.
Yes, the San Francisco chapter is the Frisco chapter, and that's just all there is to it. Nonetheless, I don't call it Frisco, and I don't call it Cali, and I ain't calling it SoCal, and so there. Now, what Bud was freaking out about was the article here in Forbes, How the Human Face Might Look in 100,000 Years. And it's pretty, it's not too much different from Barbara Bush's last photograph. I'm kidding.
That was unnecessary, Phil.
I'm joking. They've got the bugged out eyes, and I shouldn't say.
What about a bugged out eye?
Yeah, well, what happened was Barbara Bush had a condition, still does, I believe, that causes her eyes to appear as if they're more pronounced, if you will. You've probably noticed it a little bit, the former First Lady. And that's unfortunate, but I don't think it's disfigured her or anything. I think she's still, you know, as an older woman, she was a perfectly fine-looking lady.
Yes, I would say that Barbara Bush, especially when she was a younger woman, very attractive.
Right. But this look here of the human of the future is pretty weird. And let me just get over here so I can show. I want to show it to my viewers on Phil TV and HD as we talk about it. They have a photograph. Now, this is an article that was, if you will, not written, but it was based upon the writings of scientists who are looking into this phenomenon. What will we look like in 100,000 years? If you're looking at Phil TV and HD, that's, now do you see the eyeballs?
Yeah, it's very disturbing, and the faces are all bugged out. Yeah, I'd say that's very disturbing.
Very disturbing would be the key phrase.
Well, it is disturbing, but it is, there's something about it that I find extremely attractive. I don't know what it is.
Are you kidding me? That guy looks like an insect or something.
It's not, I don't know. I mean, here's the article. It says, we've come a long way looks-wise from our Homo sapien ancestors between 800,000 and 200,000 years ago, for instance. Rapid changes in Earth climate coincided with a tripling in the size of the human brain and skull, leading to a flattening of the face. But how might the physiological features of human beings change in the future, especially as new wearable technology like Google Glass change the way we use our bodies and faces? What is Google Glass?
It's some sort of, what is it, bud?
It's Google, it's goggle. Yeah, it's called goggles. They're called Googles, and you put them on.
You mean goggles?
What's the name of the company?
Google, man.
Yeah.
So they're Google goggles? So what?
I think these have some sort of property. In other words, they're going to become an extension of the human visual apparatus. And as such, you'll wear them, and the eyeballs, I don't know, Phil, but you wear these Google, the goggle. Gaga? No, that's...
That's baby talk.
That's baby talk. It's called the Gaga.
Every time we try to say something...
Take it easy. Don't give me this wee stuff. All right, so like, let's just table that. Like Google Glass, change the way we use our bodies and face. Artist and researcher Nikolai Lam has partnered with a computational geneticist to research and illustrate what we might look like 20,000 years into the future, as well as 60,000 years and 100,000 years out. His full eye-popping illustrations are at the bottom of this post. Now, we see one. What does it mean, the bottom? I'm looking at one right here. Now, there is... basically, the human face doesn't change much, except the eyeballs bug out.
Well, the eyeballs bug out, and the head gets bigger. Do you see that?
Okay, yes. So here, today, typical-looking man and woman. And here, I'll do this for our friends at home looking on Lovetronica. I think I'm going to change the name of Phil TV to Lovetronica. Okay, there we are. And if you see this article, it's Forbes magazine article on human beings and the way we look today. A typical-looking man and woman.
Well, I would say typical. They're
very good looking.
Yes.
Yeah, most people don't have a face that's good like that.
Well, they're not knockout, drop-dead gorgeous. They're just, you know, they're normal people. You know, when they use models, they generally try to find models that are not going to distract us from what the point is that they're trying to make, you know.
Meaning what?
They're going to find people that are fine to look at. What are they going to do, go out and find some guy with a big honking nose and...
Well, I think the reality would be... You find someone with a big nose and bad teeth. Isn't that what we encounter every day?
No, not necessarily. So here are people, big nose and bad teeth.
Well, in some instances, like Robert.
Shut up, man. My teeth are not bad. Look at your teeth.
After you went to that tree, bud, yeah, you got a lot to talk about. Anyway, so here is now. Now let's move into the future. Aha. Now the guy, especially the guy, his head got bigger.
Oh, look. That's 20,000 years. Humans have a larger head with a forehead that is subtly too large. A future communications lens is represented by the yellow ring around their eyes.
What does that mean?
Well, these are lenses that will be the Google Glass of the future.
What do you mean Google Glass? What is this, something that's implanted?
Yeah, think it's something that you have a they'll surgically put it in like the Bionic Man or something.
No, they ain't, man. It's something you can take off.
Well, I don't know if you guys can see this, but here is the human being of 20,000 years in the future. And that's not that pronounced a difference. But I suppose if you and I went into the future, we would see humans that are taller and would have a larger forehead if we went 20,000 years in the future. So in other words, I'd be scared, you know.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I would be scared. I wouldn't want to get out of the time capsule. Because it isn't anything we're going to be able to pop out and just go, hey, how are you doing? You know, like in that movie, TV show, The Time Tunnel, where they got dressed up and they went, you know.
Yes, they went into the future.
Yeah, there's no way. Because you'd get out wearing, you know, this is what we think the futuristic clothes. And they'll say, why aren't you in the zoo? Where are you? What do you mean zoo? Well, your head's way too small to be out here talking to me. Get your ass back in your cage, monkey.
Woo! That would be racism right there if they tried it. Monkify.
Yeah, they monkify you. Is that a word?
No, of course not. It's not a word. You guys make up words around here. Monkify. All right, look, we're going to be back because this is something that needs more exploring. What our heads are going to look like 20,000 years.
You think this is funny, Phil? This is jarring to a lot of people.
it may be jarring, but guess what? I live now, and 20,000 years from now, I don't know from any... I could care less, man. I ain't even going to be... You know, who will remember Phil Hendry? Unless I am of a stature of a pharaoh. A pharaoh.
Tom Farrow?
Tom Farrow was a friend... Not Tom Farrow. Tom, if you're listening, how you doing? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
P-H-A-R-O. So, welcome back as we continue our discussion of what the human head will look like and what the human being will look like some 100,000 years into the future. Now, this is an article that we have seen here on our news site, Forbes magazine, carried by Yahoo. And it's quite interesting. And again, it is quite jarring. And essentially what these scientists are saying is that as we proceed into the future, we're going to become bigger. And these models that I've shown you that are illustrated here in the Forbes article, they go from modern man and woman, which is, if you can imagine us, it's I don't know what, you know, maybe the man's approaching 6 foot, the woman slightly smaller at 5'9", something like that. But as we move into the future, and I'm scrolling down here, 20,000 years into the future now, we've gotten a little bit taller, the forehead gets more pronounced, the eyes become bigger. Humans have a large head with a forehead that is subtly too large. A future communications lens is represented by the yellow ring around the eyes. I don't really see it. These lenses will be the Google Glass of the future. And then when you go to 60,000 years into the future, now you're looking at, if you were to land 60,000 years into the future in a time capsule and you got out of the thing, you said, well, I'm still on Earth, this is going to be great, and you encountered these two people, you'd scream and you'd run for some place to relieve yourself.
That'd be the first thing I'd think to do.
Well, what do you mean you'd scream and run for a place to relieve yourself? Are you saying that you'd spontaneously emit?
Margaret, I'm just being... I'm overstating, okay?
All right, because I don't like the image of that.
Relieve oneself, as in urinate, or the other, not emit.
Well, I mean, you're saying that we would spontaneously emit.
No, I'm not saying that.
What does that mean, spontaneous emit?
Well, it means, here, I'll whisper it.
Oh, yeah?
What are you guys doing?
Hold on.
Man, you're kidding me.
No, hold on.
What are you doing, bud? It's taking you for a half hour to tell the guy.
Spontaneous emit. It's when, you know...
Never mind. You took about a half an hour telling this guy. What are you telling him anyway?
Well, he's trying to figure out... first of all, he's trying to ask me if I could hear him, and I said, yeah. And they said,
Never mind, okay? So there's the picture of the two people with the big eyeballs bugged out. Now we go 100,000 years into the future, and I don't want to be around for this, because the eyes are all big and huge. The chick is, she looks like eyeball queen of the human the human race.
Man, what if you became a slave? You had to be your sex slave.
Well, nothing gets past her.
Nothing gets past her.
Very funny.
What's wrong?
Well, this is disturbing. But again, you're looking at the very pronounced eyeball. Why doesn't it just become one eye? You know, the Cyclops concept.
I don't know, Margaret. This is what the doctor's saying here. The human face is proportioned to the golden ratio, though its features unnervingly large eyes. What are they talking about? In 60,000 years, human beings have even larger heads, larger eyes, and pigmented skin. Dig it. So our skin is going to be darker, probably because of the continuation of the intermingling and the mixing of races, which is as it should be, in my opinion. A pronounced supercilliary arch makes for a darker area below the eyebrows. Miniature bone conduction devices may be implanted above the ear now to work with communication lens. So the eyes are going to become even more important in terms of seeing, and they're also hearing will be very important, and that will be aided by these artificial devices. And on top of that now, they're saying that the forehead is going to not only is going to be higher, but it's going to come out. So there's going to be, the eyes will be deeper set. You know?
Man, that's like every science fiction movie they ever saw. Because the one we saw where the guy had the big head.
Yeah, most of the big head shows where the eyeballs are way back in.
What big head shows are you talking about?
Like the one we saw on Outer Limit.
Well, yeah, Outer Limits had this one where a guy went into a machine and could advance the machine, and his head got bigger.
What?
Margaret, it was a future machine, okay?
Yes, like, what is the one they had with the dog?
The one they had with a dog?
Talk about Mr. Peabody?
Yes, this Peabody. Was that the cartoon?
Yeah, that's the Wayback Machine. That's not a future machine, it's a Wayback Machine.
Well, they went into the future because I thought I saw the dog's head. No, I don't know.
What?
Yeah, they did, like, when they did a Wayback Machine on a what do you call it?
It's called Rocky and Bullwinkle.
No, man, it's Seymour and the Professor, right?
Yes, the dog and the little boy.
Right, Seymour and the Professor.
Well, yeah, the Wayback.
The Wayback Machine, yeah.
Well, in one of the episodes, the professor, which is a dog, Mr. Sherman, right?
Yeah, Sherman and Mr. Peabody, that was the guy's name, Peabody and Sherman. Why did I say Seymour?
Yeah, so anyway, Peabody, the dog, went into the Wayback Machine.
Yes.
And they moved the lever forward to like a million years of future.
Yeah, and then a dog's head got big.
Get out of here. I don't remember anything.
What is so funny?
I swear to God, Mr. Henry.
Get out of here, man. I didn't remember Peabody's head getting bigger.
They did when they put the Peabody in there. And that's why they call it. I know you're going to think I'm joking, but I'm not. You can talk. Dr. Tarner's on the phone, by the way.
Yeah, we want to get Dr. Ron Tarner on here. What?
Dr. Tarner said that's why they called him Peabody.
Because the head got big.
And the body
was... Why you say that?
Because no one believes that, and even if it's true, I damn you to hell for bringing it up, because it contorts my view of life.
I think both of you guys are full of crap.
No, I swear to God, sir.
No, hold. Both of you guys are full of crap. There was no point, whatever the hell that thing was called, Poindexter.
No, that's Felix the Cat.
Whatever the name of the thing was. Mr. Peabody didn't go into the Wayback Machine and go into the future and come out with a big dog head and... Forget it, man. Forget it. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And it is the weekend. Dr. Tarner, I know you're on your way home to the family. Appreciate it very much. How are you, sir?
Phil, we're doing very good. We had a breakthrough today at the observatory. We're able to identify three stars today. I know this is something that your audience would not necessarily readily understand, but it will be in... The Astronomical Society's publication in 2 weeks, and I wrote the article, we identified three stars in what we now think is a star system in constellation Nebulae Catria, which is the nearest to what is called the dark region of the Milky Way. It's actually relatively close. It's about 7,000 light years from the outer area of our solar system.
Solar system, right?
Yes, it's called the solar system, but there's another term for it that we use. But in any event, I wrote the article. We're very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And again, this is a star system that is pretty close to our own.
It is. It's a relatively close locale here in the Milky Way, which is the Milky Way is the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way.
Now, you're saying the Milky Way?
No, I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of a cold. It's called the Milky Way.
Yeah, the Milky Way.
He's saying Milky Way, his nose is stuffed up.
Hey, Dr. Tyler, I understand this is Robert.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. These people were...
No, not these people. It sounded like you were saying Milky Way.
No, I'm telling you now, Margaret, it's Milky... I know it sounds like Milky Way, but it's
Milky Way.
Yeah, Milky Way.
Now, right there, it sounded like Bill Keep Way.
Yeah.
Okay, forget it, Dr. Tarner.
Well, no, it's bothering me. Am I not saying it right?
You're saying it fine, sir. You have a little bit of... The man's got a cold.
I know he has a cold. I'm trying to help him with his pronunciation.
Well, my pronunciation, Margaret, is not going to be very good because of the cold, but by God. So it's called the building.
the bill being lay.
I'm going to belt you. I swear to God.
What did I do wrong? He said it's the Billy way.
He didn't say it's the Billy way or the Bill Bean way or the Bilbo way. He said it's the Milky Way. We'll be right back, folks, as we talk about the human face and how it will evolve and look over the next 100,000 years. Fascinating topic here with Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Milky Way. I know that.
Then why are you saying Bilby Way?
I'm asking him, is that what he's saying?
He's saying the Milky Way.
Get those faces out of here.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about how the human face might look in 100,000 years based on an article in Forbes magazine. With us is Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, just outside of Denver. And Dr. Turner, we're kind of segueing here from astronomy into physiognomy, correct?
Well, yes, Phil, it's evolutionary science. Physiognomy is a part of it. As the article in Forbes magazine says, we are quite changed from the days when we were, post-Cro-Magnon people.
Cro-Magnon?
Yes, I'm sorry, Cro-Magnon people.
Now, what was a Cro-Magnon? Were slightly smaller brain cavity and...
Yeah, there was a difference as a skull. We were not yet the modern human that we are today. They consisted physiological and physiognomical. I made that word up because I just want to get this over with, this interview.
Why? I'm sorry.
Well, no. I have a cold, and these two idiots...
We're not idiots.
What do we do?
Well, you're asking me stupid questions. I just want to get the interview over with, and to effect that, I'm just making words up.
Well, you don't have to do that. And I'm sorry, I'll keep these two guys quiet, Doc, but you don't have to make up words.
Well, you're interrupting me now. Can we just get going, please?
Fine, go ahead.
So you got these, I'm sorry, Phil, but I want to do it. It's very interesting. I want to tell you about it. But we wasted so much time with the Bilbo Way.
Well, okay, it's the Milky Way.
It's the Milky Bay, yeah.
Don't say it, bud.
Well, you said Bilbo.
I did not say Bilbo, you ass. And if you bother me more, I'm going to use the next word that comes after that that starts with an H.
Hat?
Yeah, okay, ass hat.
God. All right. Are you done?
Yeah.
So anyway, Phil, we have come a long way. The human being, now here's what we think. How might the physiological features of human beings change in the future, especially as new wearable technology, like the Google Glass, and you're asking, well, what is the Google Glass? And when I hit Google Glass as a query in the search feature that they provide with the story, it said the following: we did not find results for Google Glass. Type a new query. So isn't that great? Now, as I...
Whoa, it said what?
You heard me.
It said there's no definition of Google Glass.
No, none. And I think it's because you're reading a Yahoo story. And Yahoo would rather die with blood in their mouth than promote anything by Google.
Let's just stay sane and report the facts, okay, so we don't get overboard here. You didn't find anything under Google Glass.
No, and I'm telling you, it's because Yahoo is the... Are you reading a Yahoo story?
Yes.
They'd rather die with blood in their mouths. And
all right, Doc, you don't have to say that. So you're saying that Yahoo is blocking a definition of Google Glass, so they're not promoting them.
That's exactly correct. So if I were you, I'd get over to the Google story and read the Google.
But he said Google.
No, I didn't say Google. I don't want to talk to him, if you don't mind.
Bud, shut up.
You don't get to tell me you shut up. Only Mr. Harry do.
Then shut up.
Shut up, Bud.
You don't get to tell me. Well,
shut up.
Yeah, Bud, and I'll say it, even though I have no right. Shut up. And I'm Dr. Tartar. And I didn't say Google. I said Google. Maybe you say Google because that's how you communicate. In baby speak.
Thanks a lot, Bud.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. Blah, 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 blah. I don't blame him for hanging up. That's fantastic, man. We got a whole 7 minutes left in this segment.
Well, what is Goo Goo?
It ain't Goo Goo. It's Google Glass. It changes the way we use our bodies and faces. Artist and researcher Nicolay Lam has partnered with a computational geneticist to research and illustrate what we might look like 20,000 years from now. Lam says this is one possible timeline where, thanks to zygotic genome engineering technology, our future selves would have the ability to control human biology and human evolution in much the same way we control electrons today. What?
So in other words, they're saying that we can decide what we want to look like 20,000 years in the future.
Yeah.
Well, then why in the name of God would we want ourselves to have the bugged out eyeballs, the heads that go way...
Well, wait a minute. Nobody chose that. That's what he thinks is going to happen based upon our needs, and that is based upon the climate of the planet, the ecological changes of the planet, and so forth. He speaks of wresting control of the human form from natural evolution and bending human biology to suit our needs. Because, you know, we're already controlling disease. We're already controlling, in many, many ways, the environment, vegetation, animal life. We're on the verge of controlling weather in a very profound way, I think.
Well, now, wait a minute. Where did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know if you got information on that, Mr. Henry.
Well, what are you talking about, man? We're right now have been experimenting with ways that we can affect weather systems, ways that we can affect the cloud formation and so forth.
Are you talking about seeding the clouds?
No, I'm not talking about seeding the clouds. I'm talking about controlling by way of electricity, or what do you call it, electromagnetic fields.
You're faking it pretty good, Mr. Andrew.
Thank you.
So you are faking it.
Wait a minute. You're asking me a complicated question. I'm just saying that I have read where, yes, maybe we could... What's that?
Dr. Turner.
Let me talk to him off the air for a minute. Hey, Dr. Turner? Dr. Turner?
Yeah, Rod Turner here.
I said off the air, bud.
Oh.
Never mind. Dr. Turner, please don't hang up.
Well, I will not have anyone telling me why someone's eyeballs are too big. I'm the one that knows. And I want Dickman to keep his mouth shut, and I don't speak baby talk.
All right, I understand that. All right.
Well, why are the eyeballs that big?
I'm going to tell you. Now, first of all, we're talking about Nicolay Lam as an artist, and then Dr. Kwan, who is Alan Kwan, who's with Washington University. He's a computational genomics professor. He based his predictions on what living environments might look like in the future, climate and technological advances. One of the big changes will be a large forehead, a feature that is already expanding since the 14th and 16th centuries. Scientists writing in the British Dental Journal have suggested that skull measurement comparisons from that time show modern-day people have less prominent facial features but higher foreheads, and Kwan expects the human head to trend larger to accommodate a big brain.
Wow. So since the 14th and 16th centuries.
What about the 15th?
Well, what do you mean, 14th and 16th centuries?
What about the 15th century?
I guess the head stayed the same way.
Why was it growing in the 14th?
I don't know. Maybe things were happening on the planet that made the head grow in the 16th century, too. But in the 15th century, there was no...
There were no head-growing properties.
There was no head-growing... You ask me, if you could keep him quiet, Phil, it will do two things. I won't beat my son when I get home, and I'll be able to...
Well, come on, Doc. You know, I can't have that kind of talk. Now, just, Bud, I've asked you. You know how he is. He's an idiot, okay? And he's very curious.
All right, but I don't want him asked. If you're asking me, is the head different from the 14th century? Yes. 15th century, something happened and the head stayed the same.
The 14th century, by the way, folks, would be the 1300s, and that, of course, was the era of the bubonic plague in Europe. It was a terrible, terrible... I read a book once called Distant Mirror, which was a comparison of the 14th and 20th centuries, and the author, Barbara Tuchman, basically said that we're living in a century, the 20th century, that was that's very much like the 14th century. There was rampant disease that was killing millions of people. We've had the AIDS epidemic. It's nowhere near what the Black Death was, but still in all, a devastating epidemic, wars, I mean, all kinds of wars on all continents, and a power shift, a basic violent change in the way people live their lives happened in the 14th century as the result of the Black Death. So I wonder if all of that tumult had something to do with the physiology of humans.
Well, I don't know, Phil. That was very interesting. I don't know if anybody ever... You're right about the Black Death, but the Black Death, which was the bubonic plague, at first glance you would think it would have made our heads bigger because you're trying to figure out a way to get the hell out of there, you know?
And I don't understand.
No.
Well, if there's the Black Plague, and nobody knew because it was the 13th century, you didn't know it was caused by rats and by fleas. People thought it was being caused by Jews. They thought it was being caused by the astrology. You know, they didn't know what. And so you're trying to figure it out and trying to figure it out. Well, the head's going to get, you know, bigger.
Well, it's not going to get big. From when?
From before the disease happened.
Is it going to get bigger, like, right away?
Did you guys just ask me why the head got bigger?
Our heads are bigger than they were in the 14th and 16th century, right?
Yes. And I'm telling you, there were profound changes in the 14th century. You brought up one of them, the Black Death. And no one could understand why we had a Black Death. And they're scratching their noodle and they're trying to figure this out. Well, you can well imagine a guy's head get bigger, can't you?
No, I cannot. No, I cannot. The human body doesn't evolve that quickly.
Well, I hate to do this, Phil, but I guess I have to. Am I a doctor or are you? I missed that.
You're the doctor.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Phil's right. You know, and...
Whoa. Hey, Mumbles, could I just... You know, Phil's right. Well, no, he's not. I'm the doctor, and I say, because everybody was trying to figure out the Black Death, the head got bigger. Now, what do you think of that?
I think it's a childish, asinine thing to say.
Thank you very much.
You did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. How did I do that on purpose?
Well, you're laughing. You're going,
Well, let me tell you something, Margaret. This is a doctor, and he's a scientist, and he tells me that the human head got bigger because we were trying to figure out how to get away from the Black Death. You're not going to have the head, the cranium of the human animal get bigger in evolutionary terms that fast. It takes thousands of years. And now what they're saying here is that the 14th and 16th centuries, our skull began to expand. So, and also the facial features of people back then were more pronounced. Now today, our facial features are less prominent.
What do you mean about facial feature?
Like noses, like mouths, like just the facial features. Back in those days, people had probably, I don't know.
Like bigger noses, like the big nose and the big ears.
Yeah, they probably had a lot of big-eared people.
Well, whatever, man. As our foreheads have gotten higher, it's sort of constricted or, I don't know.
Well, now you're saying we're going to really look freaky, and I resent that.
Wait, how am I saying that?
Well, you're saying compared to the 14th century, we look like freaks. They had big, well, you're right, they had big ears.
Yeah, they had probably had big freaking Dumbo ears. I don't know.
Well, then they look worse.
Yeah, but everything on this show, you guys make it like, back then they must have had Dumbo ears.
Yeah, they probably had bigger. Well, I better not say.
Oh, yes.
What?
Well, the men must have had larger penises.
I'm sorry?
Larger penises.
Doesn't it say... Shut up, bud. Doesn't it say facial features?
Yes, it does. But if the nose is big...
That'll make the other one get bigger.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
Don't act as if I'm dumber than dumb, Phil.
That's about the dumbest segment we've ever done right there. The facial, the nose is big, the penis is big, Dumbo ears. This is the 14th century. This is your 14th century world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Well, now
is
I feel like
bitch.
An ass.
Well, I'm the sorry, Phil Hendry Phil. Show.
You should have known.
Should have known what?
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and a reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. Our worldwide web headquarters is philhendryshow.com. It is there that we do live streaming video of our radio show every night. And we're also making available to you all of the archives of our radio show, going back almost 15 years, close to 5,000 hours. And it's impossible to go through all of the material on our website without a really seriously concerted effort. And we actually did a just sort of broke it down mathematically. It would take you 6 solid months of continuous listening. No food, no bathroom breaks, no sleeping. 6 solid months to get through all of the radio shows, all of the material that we have. And it's ever increasing because each and every radio show we do, and now our video casts are all going into our archive. It's a deal, man. I mean, any way you look at it, for $9.99 a month, that's a backstage pass for 1 month. You've got a classic radio shows from the Phil Hendry Show. And we dare say we offer up some laughs. So we actually have a podcast every day, you know.
Well, I've heard people say they listen to the classic podcast and they laugh and laugh. And a friend of Frank's, as a matter of fact, they had a spastic. I don't know if I should tell you this.
Well, what is it?
They had a spastic colon. And
what's that?
Don't worry. But they had the spastic colon, and it's, I don't mean to be indelicate, ladies and gentlemen, but it causes a spontaneous releasing.
Oh, God.
Yes. But with the Phil Hendry podcast, and you can well imagine, they laughed, and yes, it continued to be a problem for them. But can you imagine laughing through the fact that you have fouled yourself in a restaurant, and yet you're laughing? You feel good. You are proud of yourself.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Phil, why do you always interrupt that way?
What?
Yeah, go, whoa.
Yes, you're always, whoa. Hold on, Margaret. Would you let me finish?
No, I don't want you to finish, because what you just said was the guy fouled himself.
Would you let me finish, for God's sake?
Yeah, Phil, you're always butting in and everything.
Go ahead.
The point that I'm making with the Phil Hendry backstage pass, my friend, Jeff Wanusman, who is a very good friend of Frank's, fouled himself. In other words, he lost control of his bowels in a restaurant in the middle of Houston, Texas. It was at the oil club there. Very, very wealthy men. And he didn't care. That's what I'm trying to say, because he was laughing so hard, thinking of a bit from the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you put it that way. That's
pretty good, if you think about it.
It is. The poor guy.
What do you mean? Are you...
All right. He didn't care, and everything's good, right?
Well, he was... Yeah, he was thrown out of the club. But again...
Well, see, so now we have a downside here.
You're the one that's trying to find... All right, I'll give you the downside. He was thrown out of the club. He was arrested for befoulment. I don't know. In Houston, they've got laws there that I don't know. But the point is, and when I talked to him on the phone, I said, Jeff, he said, I was laughing so much at a bit on the Phil Hendry website. I don't know what it was. The spasm kicked in, the lower colon spasm. It came out, Margaret, like a garden hose. I said, God bless you. He said, it just was wonderful the way I was laughing, and I didn't care as everyone fled the restaurant, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
You know, this is the only guy I know. You, Phil, you're the only guy I know that I'm paying a compliment to, and you look as if someone, as Lorena Bobbitt, just got to you.
Oh, come on.
No, you do.
Do, Mr. Henry. You ought to appreciate the compliment what a lady give.
I appreciate it very much, Margaret. And I will say this, that that you will laugh, and our daily archival podcast is a fantastic shot of laughter and humor for you that will cure a lot of ills, man. You know, I'm not kidding you when I say that laughter can cure a lot. It can. Do you know that on our Facebook page?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
What's with the here we go?
Are you going to talk about the ladies with cancer? Because I've heard it about 50 times.
I haven't said anything about it on the show at all.
Yes, but you're, well, as you know, 2 women with cancer, and aren't I great?
Yeah, Miss Annie, just let it go.
Leave it, Phil. Just leave it.
No, I will not leave it. No, I will not.
Oh, God.
I will not leave it. 2 ladies with breast cancer have, well, you're right, it is kind of morbid.
Yeah, it's morbid. Just leave it.
Yeah, I've got to leave it, Miss Annie.
I'll leave it, okay? I'll leave it.
Thank you. My story was more...
Yeah, let's hear about spastic colons. That's wow.
What a baby.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back here, folks. Get a backstage pass. You'll know what I mean. Speaking of weird pictures, there's another weird picture that's been making the rounds, and this is a picture of President Obama, only it is President Obama, and his image has been blended with that of former President Bush to create an image that is being used by the political opponents of President Obama. When I say political opponents, by the way, I'm not necessarily talking about conservatives or Republicans. I'm talking about individuals in his own party who feel that President Obama has, has sold them out or hasn't done what he should do, and he's just nothing but a Republican in Democrats' clothing and blah, 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 blah. Let's take a look. Here is the picture. Someone took a picture of President Obama, blended it with a picture of President Bush, and there you have it, if you can see that on Phil TV.
Yeah, that looks just, if President Bush was well, I don't want to say a bad word.
What?
If he was Negro.
Yeah, it is. If President Bush was a Negro, yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We have Scarlett Johansson, who we drop everything. Every time there's something about Scarlett Johansson in the news, we drop all news. It's all about her, and that's coming up next. World famous, because this is the official Scarlett Johansson radio show, as well as the official Phil Henry show, as well as the official Your Eyeballs Are Bugged Out and You Got the Big Head 100,000 Years Into the Future radio show. The world famous Phil Henry show.
Get the eyeballs bugged out.
Your eyeballs are bugged out.
Your eyeballs are.
I like to see you in the future, man. Your eyeballs would be all bugged out.
You'd all
Phil
look ugly.
Henry.